It's Edwin Pooch, good morning.
Good morning.
Reaction from Sinn Féin. Martin McGuinness tried for 10 years to get the outstanding commitments of the agreements implemented, and he couldn't get that over the line. Sinn Féin aren't going to go back into an executive until they have those guarantees.
I'm not sure when all of that happened, because most of this came to as news to us after the resignation letter became evident. So those discussions were not something which were being put on the table on a regular basis by Sinn Féin. They recognise that, and they know full well that at no point there was ever a commitment from the DUP about Irish Language Acts or standalone Irish Language Acts. But we have remained committed to fairness, to dealing with people in an equitable way and not discriminating against them. And as a consequence of that, the last Assembly, 2011 to 2016, saw £34 million each year going to the Irish language community. So to make it out that this is a community that's being discriminated against is frankly untrue. And it is an area that we're prepared to assist and help in terms of facilitating people to enjoy and enrich their culture. But those things haven't been on the table, quite frankly, and I believe that they are all straw men that have been produced because Sinn Féin have other issues going on, particularly around Brexit, that they don't want to be in government in Northern Ireland, and that's why we have found such a quick and rapid rejection of a very reasonable and rational offer by Arlene Foster. And Sinn Féin didn't even sleep on it, didn't even give it that courtesy. It was just rejected out of hand whenever the DUP are clearly trying to break the logjam.
So call their bluff, accept Act na Gaeilge, give it the thumbs up and see what Sinn Féin's reaction is.
Well, you see, the Act na Gaeilge that Sinn Féin was actually pressing for was a Welsh Language Act plus, and I'm afraid that that's not something which would be widely acceptable, and it would have a huge cost to the Northern Ireland budget, and would have significant implications for employment, and it would actually lead to discrimination, not end discrimination, it would actually bring about discrimination.
But it couldn't have any more cost to the Northern Ireland budget than the way we're having the country run at this present moment with all the issues. I was talking to Robin Swan earlier, the list of issues that we have across Northern Ireland that we need an executive to deal with. We need politicians to do the job, to set up an executive and go with it, but you're not prepared to do that. Whichever party's not prepared to do it, it's stumbling on this, particularly on this issue of the Irish language.
Consequently, we're saying let's get in and discuss the issues further, negotiate with the issues further, and do governance at the same time. Let's ensure that those cuts that's been proposed for the children, for the nursery school children, for the primary school children, that we can ameliorate that in some way, that we can reduce that or take it away altogether. Let's start dealing with the waiting list issue. You know, whenever I was Minister of Health, I was on trying to defend a position, 3 years ago of around 125,000 people being on the waiting list, and the reason why that's happened. Now there's 250,000. 3 years later, that's doubled. And people were criticising me whenever I was Health Minister about the length of time they were having to wait. Now twice as many people are waiting for that period of time, which is outside what they should be waiting.
Yes, we know where the problems are, but yes, where are the solutions, Edwin Pooch? We see two leading parties that are incredibly stubborn. What is the DUP going to do to break the logjam?
What I'm saying is we will prioritise those issues and we will discuss in a very open and honest and frank way, looking for outcomes and successful outcomes. In terms of all of these cultural issues, but we're not going to leave health and education, infrastructure, jobs to the side while we do that. That's holding the country to ransom. We don't think the country should be held to ransom. It's wrong that that's happening. Sinn Féin haven't given our proposal the light of day. You know, we've put a reasonable proposal on the table that could break the logjam and could allow us to deal with that health and education, all of those important issues, but they don't want to do that.
They're holding a press conference as we speak. They're holding a press conference literally as we speak. What do you expect to hear from them this morning?
Well, we heard from Gerry Adams, I think, on Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. We heard from Michelle O'Neill last night, so I don't expect to hear anything different. I would hope that, you know, having had a little time to reflect on it, and that they will not just be so difficult, but they'll take a more considered position, a more reasonable position, and a position that actually reflects the needs of all of the community in Northern Ireland, not, you know, one section of the community or one very small section of the community who want to engage in the Irish language. And, you know, I say, we're happy to facilitate people who want to do that. And we're happy, it's of no threat to us, it's of no danger to us. And that's why we have, you know, permitted considerable financial support to go to those communities in the past. But we will not, we can't have the country held to ransom over one single area. And Sinn Féin need to withdraw these red lines and start acting in a reasonable way.
In the meantime, you're prepared for direct rule. Are you happy if you have direct rule ministers in the near future?
No, but I think that in the absence of us forming an executive, I can't see that there's any other option. For example, civil servants are currently responsible for making the decisions. The army passed over 50 houses in Lisburn last year to the executive, and the civil servants, there was an agreement to pass them over to Clanmill. Since the assembly has folded, those houses haven't been passed over. The executive is paying rates on them. There's been £13,000 paid for removal of oil tanks because there's vandalism. Windows have been boarded up. The place looks like Beirut. And the people, the residents around it are saying this is outrageous. And we have 50 people who are in housing stress that could be rehoused, and they're not, that's not happening. So, you know, decisions like that aren't taking place. So we need ministers to take decisions and to get on with things. And if we're not going to produce them ourselves, somebody has to be there to do it, because the civil servants don't feel that they have got the capacity or the clout to actually go ahead and make decisions like that, everyday decisions. And I'm only giving that as one example.
And of course, there are many examples.
And
you're prepared, if direct rule involves some Dublin rule, you're prepared for that as well?
Well, I don't see that there's any rule for Dublin in the governance of one part of the United Kingdom. And again, you know, we will be respectful to them as our neighbours. We've got major issues on cooperation around Brexit and the border and all of those things. Ultimately, we should be dealing with those issues as Northern Ireland Executive, and we should be working very closely with David Davis and with Simon Coveney and with all of the people who are negotiating on the European issue, because it's a really big issue around the border. But again, we don't have a government to do it, and Sinn Féin have put other issues ahead of us.
And are you prepared to lose your salary over all of this?
Yes, absolutely.
When do you expect to have your salary stopped?
Well, let's see what comes out of this, because at this moment in time, it's the executive that can't function. The assembly can function. So, for example, the Secretary of State could decide that he would go for an absolutely minimalist approach and bring in some direct rule ministers, but allow the Assembly to continue to legislate, to scrutinise, and for the legislation to be brought to the Assembly. That's one possibility. In that case, the Assembly members would be carrying out all of their duties. It would be the executive that wouldn't be carrying out its duties, and nobody would be getting paid as an executive minister in any event. So let's see what comes out of it. But in all of this, let's be very clear. If you're in politics and if you're in public life, you have to do what's right, and you have to ensure that you don't allow, you know, yourself to become focused on pay or your own terms and conditions. It's what you do what's right for the people of Northern Ireland. I certainly know for myself that I'm prepared to move on, and I'm ready to move on if the Assembly isn't going to work and the Executive isn't going to work. I had a life before it, and I'll have a life after it. And, you know, if that's what's going to happen, well, that's fine. Bring it on, and we'll get on with life.
Okay, Edwin Poots, thank you very much.